Continuing in prayer. Ever-present God, we confess that we have trusted our narrow understandings of life rather than seek your will. We have taken our direction from the world rather than question the ways things are ordered there. We have closed our ears to your call, and when we have heard that call, defied it. Even when we have followed, we have resisted the evidence of your activity in our midst. Forgive us, powerful one, and save us from ourselves. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us continue now in a spirit of confession as we remain seated to sing More Like You, which is number 2167 in the small blue hymnal. The God who challenges us is also the God who encourages us. The God who confronts us is also the God who accepts us. Be assured that God is with us even now, accepting, guiding, and forgiving. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
This is a time in our worship that we share joys and concerns with one another, our prayers for this community, for the larger community, and for our world. Are there prayers on your hearts this morning that you would like to have us lift up today?
I was away in New York last weekend with my parents and had a great visit, so just thankful for family and prayers for my Aunt Susie. She's having some medical concerns, and they're not really sure what's going on, but they had to cancel a cruise, which was a big deal for her because she has a lot of anxiety issues. So I was really happy that they were going on this cruise, but now they're not going because of these other issues. So just prayers for Aunt Susie.
Prayers for Aunt Susie.
I'd like to have prayers for my granddaughter,
Susan. Right now she's over in Rome. She's a third year student at the University of New Hampshire, but she's taken her last semester in Rome, so I'd appreciate prayers for her, for God to protect her while she's there and guide her.
Okay.
For your granddaughter, right?
Granddaughter
Susie. Okay.
I just ask for continued prayers for my niece, Rebecca. They found she does need a bone marrow transplant. On Monday, her siblings will be tested, which is the best likelihood for a match, so we're really praying for that. Otherwise, it could be a long road ahead. So continued prayers for Rebecca and her family.
Okay, thanks. Others this morning? Yes, Julie. I'd like continued prayers for my brother, Jim, who's actually, he's had a good report from the cancer. He's had some cancer tests, and he's doing very well, well enough to move on, see if he can have open heart surgery because of some damage from chemo, which we know can do a job on us.
Thank you. So prayers for Brother Jim as he goes through the testing for this possible heart surgery, too.
The husband of a colleague has a detached retina, and he's having surgery on Thursday, so I'd like prayers for him. His name is Gary Reed.
Prayers for Gary and this surgery Thursday for a detached retina.
Rob. Hi. I'm sorry. The elevator took longer than I thought to get back up to sing. I have an endoscopy Tuesday, a neuromuscular doc, and keep saying an entomologist, that's not right. Endocrinologist. So, thanks.
Prayers for Rob in this testing on Tuesday.
Okay. It's cold and winter, and lots of people are isolated in their houses. So it's really a very important time to pray for those that struggle with addiction to drugs and alcohol. Let us remember them, because it's a really hard time of year.
Thanks, Sally, for the continued prayers for those who are struggling with drugs and alcohol and isolation in this season.
We'll be hearing a little bit more about public schools later on, but I have a specific prayer request for the MLK Elementary School. The principal posted this week that the fifth graders will be getting their third teacher this year, so three teachers in 6 months for fifth grade is not a great transition. He's asking for support. I think it's a systemic issue. The teachers aren't just leaving because they want to. Something's going on in the district, and let's pray for those students as they transition to a new teacher again this week.
Thanks, Joe.
I'm asking continued prayers for my cousin Layton and his wife Janet. Layton was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. The treatment plan has not been made clear to the cousins yet, but his wife Janet also experienced an episode of arrhythmia that is considered serious. It's not just anxiety. So both of them are needing prayer.
So prayers for Jill's cousins, Janet and Layton, both dealing with medical issues in this time.
I just want to add for prayer for public schools. My school this week had a flood because of pipe issues, and 8 classrooms were displaced. 3 classrooms were totaled. And so just prayer for those students, kindergarten and first grade students, who are still not in their classrooms, and for the teachers who have to start completely over with everything. Oh, yes.
Hi, it's a joy to be back with you. I've been various many places over the last few weeks, but I'm feeling better now. So, you know, the prodigal son has returned, and of course my voice is still here, so.
Amen.
Whoops. I'm beginning a 6-month sabbatical this week and would love your prayers for this time and for the grad and med students at Brown as I am stepping back for the semester. You could pray for them and just pray that this would be a time of rest and good study and learning and time with our family. Thanks.
She is not on sabbatical from here.
My dad is moving to Hong Kong this week, so prayers that he has a safe trip and can find a place to live for the next 5 years.
Wow. Diane's father to Hong Kong this week.
Having shared these prayers, let us lift them before God. Let us pray. Great God of heaven and earth, we praise you for your wondrous works today, for the brightness of this morning, for the seasons as they change, for your care over all creation. You call us to put our trust in you and to follow where you lead, but we find it so difficult sometimes. Like Jonah, we flee from your will, and yet you never give up on us. You call to us again and again, and you are faithful to your church and to each one of us. You are faithful even when we falter and even when we fall. We give you thanks today because of who you are. Like a mother hen, you gather us in your wings. Like a waiting father, you embrace us with your love. Trusting in your great love, we turn to you this day with hearts that are full of expectation. We wait and watch and wonder at how you will reveal yourself to us, in how you will act, O Lord, in how your purpose for each of our lives and the ones we love may be made known. And so we come lifting these prayers to you today, especially for those who are experiencing health concerns in this week. For Jenny's Aunt Susie, for Jim, Julie's brother, for Gary, for Rob, for Layton and Janet. Lord, we pray that your healing hands would be on them as you walk with them through these medical uncertainties and these hard times. Oh God, we pray that your powerful hands may be evident in the life of Carmen Rivera today, of those who are in particular life crises, for the MLK school and its students, with teacher changes and systemic problems, for the students affected by the pipe burst at Alice's school, be with them, encourage those teachers. It seems like it's one thing after the next. Oh God, in your mercy, we pray for our city and its needs, for our schools, for our elected officials, for the ongoing spectacle of an election campaign right now. We pray for those charged with making hard decisions and for those who are charged with leading. Oh God, we pray in this season for those who are isolated or alone. We lift up to you especially those in the recovery community who are battling the demons of addiction. Be their strength and savior. Be their redeemer as you are for all of us, oh God. We pray for our community of faith here that we might be one where all might find their place to belong and to learn to believe, to follow where you would have us go. Lord, we pray this day for A special prayer for Susan in Rome as she studies, for your guidance on her life. For Diane's father as he moves to Hong Kong. We pray for the Spader family this day, especially young Rebecca and the bone marrow transplant she awaits. May your life-giving hands touch her again. We pray for her this day. We lift as well those who are recovering from surgery or other procedures. We give you thanks for the joy as people return to us. For Andrew, back again. You've given him a voice and a presence, and we give you thanks for him today. Oh Lord, we do pray for Kathy in these days ahead of her sabbatical leave, for the ways that you will feed her and lead her and let her rest in this season. May we sense and share some of her joy and the questions she will ask and the ways you will come alongside her. Lord, we pray these prayers knowing that there are others still percolating in our hearts, unspoken, unable to be named, difficult to address. We pray that you would search each of our hearts, that your Spirit would intercede with us, through us, and lift out of us the things we need to share with you and bring before you. We pray that you would connect us more and more with one another, as well as with believers around the world and in every time and place. As we pray together today, the prayer your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would like to call up all of the children to come forward at this time for a preview of what the adults are going to hear about a little bit later. It's great to see so many of you here this morning. I'm glad I brought lots of things up here. Lots of folks. All right. We're going to be reading a story this morning in the church service up here about Jesus. That's probably not a surprise to you, is it? That we're going to read about Jesus. We're going to read a story about Jesus and his call to several people to follow him. Now, has anyone ever asked you to follow them? Anywhere? No? No? Yes? Who's asked you to follow them? Yeah.
Hi, Elliot.
Some of your friends? Yeah? Okay. Eden, did you have someone else? What, you forgot? Okay. What about you, Ben? Jesus asked you to follow him. You know, you're absolutely right. Jesus asks us to follow him. Not just the disciples that were long, long time ago that listened to him, that walked on the earth when he walked on the earth, but Jesus asks us to follow him. And that's kind of a hard thing to do, isn't it? It is, because we need to learn about Jesus, and we need to learn what that means to follow him. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. But I want you to remember about that. So I'm going to pass this around and have everyone take one. Okay. What is this? A feather. And I have feathers of all different colors. I want all of you guys to take one and to take it home because we're going to remember what it's like. Do any of you know what's inside of some pillows, not all of them these days, but yes, Chrissy. What?
Feathers.
Yes, in the olden days, feathers used to be in all pillows. And what do you think would happen if you took a pillow, don't do this at home, and opened it up and went like this? They would fly around, and they might go all over the place if it was a really windy day, wouldn't they? Well, our walk, our following Jesus, is kind of like that. We have a lot of opportunities every day of our life to follow Jesus. Not just one opportunity of a lifetime, but every day an opportunity. It's like a big pillow that we might have, that might have thousands of feathers inside of it. And if you think about every day and your life with Jesus, there is ways in which you might actually give a feather to someone so that they have an idea of what it is to follow Jesus by doing something that Jesus might want you to do in following them. And so I want you all to take home your feathers, to keep your feathers, but to keep it as a reminder and a thinking thing to see how you might remember how to follow Jesus every day. And I want to make sure everyone gets one. I think they stopped somewhere. So, oh, they're coming. They're coming around. So please take one. And you might even think about it as a way to pass a feather to someone else. And we'll put the rest of them in coffee hour in case anyone else wants to remember about a feather in their life to follow Jesus. So will you pray with me? God, we thank you that you call us to be your followers, that you call all of us to be your followers and to spread the feathers of your love and your care all over the world. Help us as we live day by day to remember that message, to look at this feather and to remember that you call us to follow. And lead us now as your disciples everywhere we go. In Christ we pray. Amen. You may go down to your classes, and I believe the middle school is meeting today in class upstairs.
The Old Testament lesson is from Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, found on page 811 in your pew Bibles, or 1054 in the large print, or on the screen. This occurs after, we are all familiar with Jonah being in the belly of the big fish. This is after he comes out of the fish. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. The gospel lesson is from Mark, the chapter 1, verses 14 through 20, on page 33 in your pew Bibles, or page 42 in the large print, or above. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Month of January, we have been exploring biblical images and stories of crossing the threshold, from the old to the new year, from isolation to community, and today we move from crowd to disciple as we explore what it means to answer Jesus' call to follow, an invitation and a challenge that each one of us must answer on our own. As we begin, will you pray with me? Gracious God, quiet our hearts and minds as we gather this day to hear your word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Gospels begin with the words of Jesus saying, "Follow me," early in Mark's Gospel in chapter 1. Out of the tumult of the energy of John the Baptist calling people to repentance and the discouragement that must have been with his followers when he was arrested and sent to prison, after Jesus is driven into the wilderness following his baptism by John, it moves pretty quickly in that first chapter of Mark. Jesus begins to gather a crowd in his ministry, if you will, proclaiming good news, calling the people to attention, to repent, to turn away from the things which separate us from God, and to turn towards the kingdom which is now at hand. Jesus is met in these opening verses of Mark with crowds at every turn as he preaches and as he heals and as he encounters one by one the named ones who will become his disciples. And Mark makes it sound very easy in his gospel as we read the story, doesn't he? This call of the disciples, which we find not only in Mark's gospel, but in all four gospels. All of the gospel writers think it is important to include the story of how people come to follow Jesus. The first thing we notice as we look at this story in Mark is that Jesus meets Andrew, meets Simon in their day-to-day lives. Now, as much as Pastor Dave and I hope that you meet Jesus in your worship here when you're here on Sunday morning in this holy place and in the various activities of the life of the church, when you come away from the rest of your lives to fully focus on God, that's not the message of the gospel story. Jesus meets us day to day in our lives, and that's where we're called to answer the call to follow. Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Elaine Prevalent wrote several years ago in an article in Weavings, God uses a variety of ways to get through to us, tailoring the call to the condition of the recipient. But no matter how that call comes, whether explosively or gently, the response has to be worked out in daily faithfulness, in ordinary life. Now, maybe God is calling you at this moment, in this time, to leave everything. And that is between you and God and your families. But more likely, Jesus is seeking for you to meet him and to follow him in the day-to-day, as he met Simon and Andrew in their day-to-day out fishing. We know, for example, that although they did dedicate themselves and immediately drop everything to follow Jesus, they appear fishing back again from time to time, going back to what was familiar. We also know, if we read Mark's gospel carefully and closely, we will see that they don't always understand what Jesus is calling them to do as they follow. And I find that a great comfort in Mark's gospel, that doesn't just show them as always perfect followers of Jesus, but as faithful ones seeking to follow where Jesus is leading them day by day. We can't dismiss that Jesus may be calling you to drop everything, to risk a sabbatical, for example, to step out away. But it is clear that Andrew and Simon attend to Jesus in this day-to-day encounter. And can we do the same in each decision we are making, answering that call to follow Jesus? There is, however, as much as I am challenging you to look at for God in the day-to-day and maybe in the smaller decisions of life as well, there's no getting around the fact that in this story, Jesus' call on their lives is total. Jesus wants all of the parts of our life, not just the part we bring to church on Sunday morning to worship, or the parts that we're ready to hand over and maybe take back again, as one Bible study that I had several years ago reminded us that it's a wrestling sometimes to continually let God guide our lives. When we answer the call to follow Jesus, it changes the way that we look at the world. And sometimes those changes come very dramatically to us. Sometimes they come more gradually over time. But that's what strikes us most powerfully in this story. Simon and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed him. While it may not at first require us to leave everything that we know of our life in this world, answering Jesus' call to follow is a total call and a total change in our way of looking at the world as we begin to live and follow something beyond ourselves, this kingdom of God that Jesus preaches about. What would it mean for ourselves and our lives and community here and in our families, in our work and in our world, if we kept front and center that question, how is this, whatever this is in this moment, following Jesus? It's a challenging command to turn over all of our lives to God to follow. When I was reading this scripture passage in preparation for this sermon this morning, what really jumped out at me was the line in the scripture, their father Zebedee was left in the boat with the hired men. I'd never noticed that before. I've always focused on this dramatic and faithful call of Andrew and Simon. But Jesus didn't get all of those fishermen this time. Don't you wonder about their father Zebedee as he watched his sons go off to follow Jesus? And yet, there's freedom and adventure for Simon and Andrew as they drop their nets to follow Jesus. Prevalet writes, continuing, at the deepest level, the call of Jesus to follow frees us. It enables us to see what really matters, to focus our love, to dedicate ourselves to something, someone larger than ourselves, and so to enter consciously into that continual stream of losing and finding ourselves that is the mystery of life. That call came strikingly to our member and missionary, Nancy Collins, over a dozen years ago as she looked at her own life, working for Rhode Island Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and tried to imagine where Jesus was calling her to use her gifts. It has led her to Egypt. It has led her to East Africa. The message of Mark's gospel in this passage is that Jesus' call on our lives changes the way that we look at ourselves and the ways we look at the world around us. I like the fact that our lectionary, these are the lectionary passages for January 22nd, the calendar of the lectionary puts this radical call to follow Jesus, the disciples following, these two first disciples following Jesus, puts it right next to the story of Jonah. And I think Judy very helpfully reminded us that Jonah didn't just answer the call and say, okay, I'll go talk to the Ninevites, but went through this journey, through the whale. He wrestled with it. And perhaps the dramatic swallowing of the whale and him coming back to life had something to do with his agreement and willingness to then eventually do what God had asked him to do in the first place. The decision to follow where God is calling still wasn't easy for him, and it's not easy for us. This is a call to discipleship, a call to be disciplined, to follow, to listen, to learn, to grow, to stretch to where Jesus is calling us. The word disciple is used about 260 times in the Gospel and in Acts, and mostly not about just these named disciples that follow Jesus, but all who follow Jesus. And more often than not, it was interesting to note that it is used in the plural. So it takes us back to remembering that this call to discipleship, though it comes to us as individuals, it's also a journey together in community. It is often in community that we wrestle with and live out that call that comes to us so powerfully in individual ways. And as we gather together in our commitment to follow, to step out of the crowd. So it requires an individual decision to become a disciple, to step out of the crowd, And you know how that has been true in your own lives, simply going against the times to be here in worship this morning. It doesn't just happen. It requires listening and hearing where God is calling us, not just what we ourselves want in our world. It comes with risking to answer that call wherever it may lead us. Andrew and Simon didn't know where Jesus was taking them. Jesus didn't hand them an itinerary, a written instruction about this is where we will be going in this journey together. He said simply, follow me. And they were willing to step out in faith. As you move through this January threshold, this threshold of a new year, of new ways of being in community, how is Jesus calling you to personally and individually risk following him, to step out in faith, to listen more closely, and to follow where he alone would lead you? The answer may surprise you, and it may surprise us, but may you take that step to listen, to risk, and to hear Jesus speaking to you, to cross that threshold from crowd to disciple. Amen.
Let us stand and join in the affirmation of faith, which is from the Declaration of Faith of the former Southern Presbyterian Church. Christ calls us to be disciples, informing his people and sending them into the world. Jesus called individuals to be disciples. They were to share the joy of his companionship, to understand and obey his teachings, and to follow him in life and death. We confess that Christians today are called to discipleship. Life shared with Christ and shaped by Christ is God's undeserved gift to each of us. It is also God's demand upon every one of us, never perfectly fulfilled by any of us. Forgiven by God, and supported by brothers and sisters, we strive to become more faithful and effective in our daily practice of the Christian life.
I'm coming to you with a moment for mission today. If you've been here more than twice, maybe even just this morning, you probably already know that our church has a burden for public education, as they say in the South. And we've been using our house group structure to not only study the Bible and pray and fellowship, but now to also address these concerns in public education that we have right now in this community. And I want to celebrate the body of Christ. I know that you all have probably got some flavor for how this works. Public education is a big problem, but there are a lot of components to it, places where we can plug in. Not everyone is going to be a tutor. Not everyone is going to be an administrator or a politician. So I want to just share with you what has been happening in our house group. One of our co-leaders, Joe Fisher, Joe, please stand, is an information gatherer. That's her gift. And Marianne Harrison, would you stand up too? She's an information gatherer. That's like the first step for us in our house group. Phil Chant also is going to be doing some information gathering. If you want to know what they've learned, ask them. Joe went to the principal at Martin Luther King and found out ways that we can plug in to their needs. Mary Ann went to Mount Hope Learning Center. All of these places are right in our neighborhood. So let me just throw some feathers out there for you all to try to catch the one that is meant for you. At Martin Luther King, yay! if you want an ongoing opportunity to volunteer, they can use lunch monitors on whatever day you're available, if they don't already have one. They need somebody just to be there during lunch from 11:35 to 1:05 every day, just to keep an eye on things in the lunchroom. You all know how that goes. There are opportunities to volunteer for the school improvement team. If you want to just find out what's going on, meet some of the people in the community, and really talk and listen, and enjoy what we enjoy here, go to a potluck this Wednesday at Martin Luther King at the cafeteria, International Potluck. And it's like what happens here, kind of, only it's a school setting where they're going to be celebrating the life and legacy of Martin Luther King as part of the program. And it will let them know that we care. If you like fun and being silly and dancing and stuff, if you're willing to fork out $20 for a ticket, there's a fundraiser on March 16th at the Tantric on North Main Street. It's a 70s and 80s dance. Here's one that really got to me. Kids at Martin Luther King, some of them get dropped off at 8:30 and don't get in to the building until 9, and some of them don't have enough warm clothes. So if you have any coats or boots, kids, warm stuff, hats, gloves that haven't made it to a donation site, see Joe about donating those to Martin Luther King. Also, keep your eyes open when you're at Savers or Salvation Army, you know, for a good deal on warm kids' clothes. Then there's always what we've been doing, the collecting box tops and East Side Marketplace receipts. There is a collection envelope on the mission bulletin board, if you're not aware, for those things. I'm going to skip over a lot of, there's a lot of good opportunities for the Mount Hope Learning Center as well. One that stands out to me is in the spring there'll be a plant and bake sale, and there'll also be a spring cleanup, kind of like what we do here on our work days. If you enjoy the opportunity to get to know people and what this place is all about, well, you can do the same thing with the public schools by going to Mount Hope Learning Center for their spring cleanup and doing a work day with them. This is where the kids do go for tutoring and homework help, and it's right around the corner, Cypress and Camp, that area. Here is what I'm really asking for today. Mary Ann, who stood up second over here, Mary Ann is collecting your Stop and Shop card numbers. That's today and next week after church. And you can do this for your neighbors, so pay attention when she collects your number, and you can do this at home with your neighbors on your computer or on their computer. Stop and Shop has set aside $2.5 million for schools in the communities where they have stores. We can get some of that money, and the more people that we sign up with the card numbers, the more will come to this area. You can sign up for 2 schools. Maybe if you have a kid, your kid's school, and one of our neighborhood schools, Martin Luther King, Hope High, And also we're asking if people might want to contribute to Mary Fogarty School, which is where the Entendrea family, our refugee family that we sponsor, where their kids go. So stay tuned for more information from the newsletter. Cheryl Mason is the one who gathered and collated all this information for me to give to you, and she has copies of this for you to take so that you can find out where you can plug in. And she will be having an article in the newsletter, and we will be giving you updates. So how many people have Stop and Shop cards with them today? Raise your hand. If you haven't already designated two schools on them, go and see Mary Ann during coffee hour.
As disciples, let us bring forth our offerings to the work of the Lord in our community and in the world. These offerings of our money and of our food, so that it may nourish those who need nourishing, may bring your disciples to all who need your disciples. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please remain standing for our final hymn this morning, which is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, the perfect song for our theme, and it's going to be projected on the screen. Join us as we sing.
Jesus is our call. Let us go forth with joy into that call to risk, to listen to where Jesus alone would call us. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Creator, and the powerful Spirit which binds us together as one, we pray and live and move and have our being. Amen.
Please.
Anytime.
We have a full percussion section.
It's really nice.